Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Altus Group podcast series. Today, Ross Litkenhouse, the senior director with Altus Group, is going to be speaking with Janine Jackson, senior counsel with Holland & Knight, specializing in DC government relations, about the controversial implementation of the systems availability fee by the District of Columbia Water and Sewer Authority. And with that, we'll hand it over to Ross.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. Janine, how are you today?
I am doing well, Ross. Thank you for having me.
Good to speak with you. Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure, for our listeners, I had the pleasure of sitting in a few weeks ago on a presentation that Janine and some of her colleagues over at Holland & Knight made in regards to this system availability fee. And I will tell you, Janine, and I know you will agree, this entire implementation as well as the intent behind it, and then more importantly, the impact to our residential clients, both developers, owners, and investors out in the D.C. market is quite staggering. And I thought that the information that you guys provided was very compelling. It was great. You guys seemed to be on top of it. And I wanted to get a podcast together. One, invited you. You're a good friend and certainly respect your credibility. And I think that you've got some great input here. So I thought it would be great for our listeners to get just a few additional details. Of course, we won't reveal all the secret sauce here today, but a few additional details on the impact of this system availability fee. So kind of in a 15 to 20 second blurb, won't necessarily hold you to that time frame. Can you let our listeners know exactly, what this is, this systems availability fee?
Well, it's a fee that was proposed by DC Water, and it's a one-time fee for the meter connection to DC Water's water and sewer lines. And it's intended to cover the cost of, water treatment, water storage and distribution, water supply, wastewater and stormwater conveyance, and wastewater treatment. And it's based upon the size of the meter connection. And at this particular point, as I said, it's a proposed fee, but that's what it's there for. That's the use. And that's the short of what it is, actually. And I don't think there's anything more complicated about it.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem to be something that had been planned, and I know it was fairly short term. But can you give us an idea of kind of the total financial impact to potential residential developments?
Well, I can tell you that, honestly, it will impact not only residential development, but actually D.C. residents and individual homeowners, residential customers, commercial, and then multifamily and non-residential. And for, let's just say, the D.C. resident who decides to undertake a renovation of their home, if they change their meter size, let's say they go from something smaller than 5/8 of an inch, their total system availability fee would be $3,944. If they go up to a 2-inch meter, it would run at $38,661. Now, that's just for the average residential, going from 5/8 of an inch to 2-inch. What you would see in non-residential or multifamily, you would see a cost that ranges from about $4,455 for an inch or smaller that runs all the way up to 16 inches at a cost of $796,654. So
$800,000, the potential impact
exactly
for some of the
right.
larger developments.
That's
so
exactly
the,
right.
The thing that and the thing that strikes me about that is that this really came out of what I think is nowhere. And that is, it's quite different than what you see when trying to get anything else through, not just D.C. government, but some of the agencies. Now, this is obviously D.C. Water, which is its own independent kind of quasi-governmental entity. But my understanding is that this was discussed back in fall of 2015. They implemented or adopted that resolution, which I believe it's 16-10, back in January, this past January. And they are trying to implement it as of May 1st. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And just, you're right. We knew that there were rumors about this fee, and it wasn't called a system availability fee originally. It was actually called a development fee. It, however, changed in the committee before it was recommended to the full board, and they decided to call it a system availability fee. And That then subsequently moved through the D.C. Retail Water and Sewer Rate Committee and was presented to the full board in January 2016. And it was published in the D.C. Register January 22nd with an original implementation date, effective date, of April 1, 2016, after a 30-day comment period. However, D.C. Water hearing, I believe starting to hear complaints from civil engineers and the development community, decided to change that 30-day comment period, and they extended it out to March 11, 2016, with an expected implementation date of May 1, 2016. What we've heard is that DC Water is considering pushing out that effective date. There's no sense of when, but we think that now that more developers are becoming aware of the fee, that they're hearing from DC, they're expressing their concerns to DC Water, and that DC Water is now realizing that they probably need to do a little bit more work in terms of notifying yes, in terms of notifying developers as well as residents, because as I mentioned earlier, this applies to residential consumers as well. So I think that what they're hearing is, you didn't give us enough notice, you didn't give us enough time, and the fact of the matter is that for a lot of development projects, this fee was never calculated in,
right,
you know, the cost of, you know, producing the housing, producing the commercial units. It was never accounted for, and it came out of left field. I think that's absolutely accurate.
Yeah, and that was what struck me, is that this hasn't been baked into underwriting or numbers on development. And you talk about, I mean, even at the, you know, the single user level, you're talking about, you know, $4,000. I mean, that is not that's not just pennies. You know, that's certainly not just pennies on a project when you're trying to plan around this. And then you go up to all the way to the larger project, and you're talking potentially $800,000 in potential cost to a development that had not been baked into those numbers. And I just thought that was staggering, especially something that had been planned what seemed like on a whim, and they were implementing which seemed to be quicker than just about anything else I've ever seen implemented. So I have to ask you, Janine, and I want to give our listeners the benefit of knowing your background, because I think it'll shed some light on, you know, one, why I'm following this closely and following your take on this closely. Janine was a deputy chief of staff and director of policy and legislative affairs for former Mayor Vincent Gray, so she certainly understands inner workings of D.C. politics. And you were also senior VP for government affairs at the D.C. Chamber of Commerce. So I know you have seen and been involved in, been around, communicated with, networked with, you know, the various parties that have touched this project. And so I want to ask you, and I don't want to sound like I have a tinfoil hat on here and I'm trying to chase this down a rabbit hole, but what was the reason behind doing this? I kind of think of it as potentially nefarious things going on behind the scenes, but, you know, why do you think, what was the intent of this? Because my understanding is that DC Water is not hard up for money, and infrastructure is already being paid for to some extent. So, you know, where did this come from? What was the intent? You know, what are they trying to accomplish with this?
Well, I think, honestly, one of the challenges that DC Water faces is it's got a system that's extremely antiquated. A lot of the pipes that are currently in the ground are over 100 years old, and I think mm-hmm. the improvement in the infrastructure is really, the cost of improving that infrastructure is really driving this fee. And then also, you could conceivably make an argument that they may be losing volume because of all the conservation efforts that we are required now as development projects, multifamily, commercial, and the like, to put in place, because we're using less water, as we should, in an effort to conserve, and they're losing revenue through volume, a loss of volume. And I think that what DC Water has said is that we need to improve the infrastructure, and it has to be paid for in some way. And I think for most customers, whether it's commercial or residential, you're paying for infrastructure improvements right now on your water bill. But this fee is, from DC Water's perspective, designed to pay for future users' infrastructure. And I think that's sort of what most people have found shocking about this, because they're feeling like, I'm already paying for infrastructure improvement.
Right.
Why do I have to pay for somebody 10, 20 years down the road to
right.
be able to have a working infrastructure? Why not have them pay then rather than have me pay now?
Right, because
and
most
right.
of the developers are, I mean, they are contributing to that. Most of these developments, I mean, there are already costs associated with that on the development front. So this just seems to be I don't know, it seems to be half-baked, and it doesn't seem to me, and maybe you can speak to this, that someone really sat down and penciled out exactly what was going to be needed to see if it made sense. It was just kind of, let's get a money grab out there, get as much as possible, and we'll tell them it's for future development, but you know, I really couldn't say exactly what those costs would be and what we really need to do to make up the difference. I mean, is that accurate, or am I being a little too harsh?
I don't know if necessarily you're being too harsh. I think your comment really is a reflection of the absence of transparency that people feel around this fee. And if DC Water had said, here's the necessary investment that must be made to improve the infrastructure over X number of years, and here's how we intend to pay for it, I think that people would feel more comfortable with that. However, as we mentioned earlier, this is a fee that sort of came out of nowhere, and we're not exactly sure how the revenue that's expected to be generated from this fee is actually going to ultimately contribute to infrastructure improvements that must be made. And DC Water hasn't shared that. So there certainly is consternation in the development community around this fee and what it's really being used for. And I think you're right. You did mention that DC Water is not hurting for money. They do have, a surplus in their annual revenue. So the question becomes, why can't you use that surplus and reinvest? So I think that for many, the feeling is we're paying a lot for water because we've seen our water bills increase probably for most somewhere between 15 to 30% over the last 8 to 10 years, and there's a real question about why we're paying so much. And while we certainly want to make sure that water is available because it gives life, we want to know what our dollar is actually buying us.
Right.
And I think that's really – so I don't think that your statement is really an indictment of DC Water. I think it's an expression of the absence of transparency around this fee.
Yeah, and certainly I think transparency is probably the best description, because I will tell you, I mean, most folks on the development front, if you're talking about investments, higher taxes, obviously nobody likes higher taxes, but if the transparency there is there, things are needed, fees are needed to pay for things that certainly help the common good. As long as folks have time to plan around that, it is usually a much easier thing to swallow. And the transparency of here's how much we need, here's why we need it, here's what it's going to go for, and then giving people time to comment, because I'm not certain, and again, I'm not in the weeds necessarily in terms of the engineering piece of this, but I'm not entirely certain that the specifics of cost based on water meter and size were necessarily thought out with a significant amount of private industry input, the folks that are actually going to have to implement this and deal with some of the engineering challenges. So, I think that transparency, in addition to input and comments, more robust comments and more time to provide comments would have probably made this a little bit easier to swallow. Maybe still not had everybody sleeping easy over it, but would certainly have helped with some of the consternation that people are feeling right now. So I have to ask you, what are next steps for you, Janine, in terms of how you and your team are representing folks out in the industry, getting in front of DC Water? I mean, is there a lobbying effort that's going on? Can you kind of tell us what you guys are planning to do over the next kind of 3 to 6 months?
Well, what we're actually doing is really focusing on putting together comprehensive comments, because the comment period has closed. However, we believe the fact that people are now becoming aware of this fee, we can submit comments to DC Water and the Board of Directors outside of the comment period, just because you didn't have a fully aware development community with respect to this these fees. And we're looking at certain things about the fee that we want to make sure that DC Water is cognizant of. First, there should be some grandfathering for projects that are currently in the pipeline that, have not received their DC Water construction approval permit, because that's something else that I think for your listeners, they really need to be aware of. You must pay this fee actually when you get your sign-off from DC Water on your construction permit. And although the regulations have provided for a payment plan, it isn't mandatory that you will receive if you apply for a payment plan, that it will be granted. It is solely at DC Water's discretion. And what they would require is that if it was granted, you would pay it in 4 equal installments. So the first thing is that we want to say to DC Water, slow down a minute, because there are projects that are currently in the pipeline that have not received a DC Water's approval on their construction permit. And if this fee takes effect at this particular point for those projects, they've now got to add on this cost that was never calculated and pay it to you in one lump sum unless you give them permission to enter into our payment plan. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. The other thing is that we think that the fee should actually be connected to volume, use, pressure, or need. The fact is that the fee is actually just tied to the size of your meter, and there's no correlation between that meter size and the fee. We don't know why 6 inches or more requires an $800,000 payment. There's no explanation of it.
Right. I think that's part certainly a frustrating part.
Yeah, so what we're working on are these comments that we believe will help DC Water really be more thoughtful. If they need this fee, if they need this revenue, it should be tied to something that actually relates directly to the consumer's use, volume, or need. And we're hoping that our comments back to them will give them a moment to reflect, pause, and really come at this a different way, and come at it, quite honestly, in a cooperative spirit, working with the development community and also considering the impact to the residential customer.
So in the meantime, as you guys are working through that, are there a few tips that you could provide to some of our listeners that might help them to minimize the impact of this, stay ahead of some of the cost, and just in general keep some of this in check while these types of things are that you're talking about are being worked through?
Yes. The most important thing is to talk to your plumbing engineer. Why do you need a meter of that particular size? Does it really change the development project if you were to use a smaller meter, larger meter? Really pushing the plumbing engineer to think about the absolute need for a meter of a particular size. That's really the best way to manage this cost. The problem, however, though, is that DC Water actually is involved in determining your meter size. So you really have to have a plumbing engineer who's willing to push back on DC Water and really look at, you know, gallons per minute and, you know, what is absolutely necessary and then what is the ideal meter size for your particular project. So your plumbing engineer really becomes a very important player, not just because a plumbing engineer is important, but it becomes a really important player in how you manage your costs associated with a development project.
Sounds like a growth industry for some of our millennials out there.
I will tell you, I wish I was a plumbing engineer right now.
I'm telling you, yeah, with some of this, they will become ever more important. You got to love layers of bureaucracy, though. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad I had the distinct pleasure of talking with you personally about this in our podcast. And Matt, thank you for hosting both of us here in the digital booth, at least. And certainly appreciate it. And Jenny, as well as our listeners, I will certainly be following what you guys are doing and talking with you on a regular basis, because our clients here at Altus on the residential side are being made aware of this. People are watching it very closely to understand the impacts and hopefully mitigate those impacts. So thank you for the work that you and your team are doing. And again, thank you for your input and education for all of us here today. Matt?
Thanks, Ross. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. And thank you both. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Altus Group podcast interview where Ross Litkenhouse, a senior director with Altus Group, interviewed Janine Jackson, senior counsel with Holland & Knight, who specializes in D.C. government relations, about the controversial implementation of the systems availability fee by the District of Columbia Water and Sewer Authority. And thank you, everybody, for your time today.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks.